No one notices me. I'm often right there on the scene, but I rarely get noticed. I guess because I'm grey and I'm short and there's nothing spectacular about me, except my long ears. Huh. All I've got going for me is big, long ears and my stubbornness. But you've distracted me. Please stop distracting me. I was having a really good whinge, so don't interrupt, please. Now, what was I saying? Yes. No one notices me. I'm stubborn. I'm short. I'm grey. I've got big ears. I'm underappreciated. I am underappreciated. You know, my kind was there in the Bible. Right from the beginning, when the Father made all his creatures, when Noah saved us, my very ancestors were on that ark, all safe and smug above the rains. But you're distracting me again. Please would you stop distracting me? We are dotted all the way through the good book, if you care to look. If you count it up, we're mentioned 142 times throughout the Bible, and it goes up to 432 times if you count the number of times our poor cousins, asses, are mentioned. But we don't like to mention them because they drag up scandals we'd rather forget. And in contrast to Greek thinking, and don't mind me if I pump my chest out a little bit, donkeys are portrayed in the Bible as symbols of service, suffering, peace, and humility. See, I told you it's a good book. But it gets better because we're also associated with the idea of wisdom in the Old Testament. And one of us even has a starring role in the Pentateuch, the Torah, right there in the book of Numbers. Ha! She was the most famous donkey that ever lived, a talking donkey. There were Israelites soon to arrive in the promised land, but each time they got closer, the other nations picked a fight and distracted them. But despite the distractions, the Israelites won each battle. And because of this, the other nations grew fearful of the Israelite God. Then Balak, the leader of the Moabites, came up with a plan. He decided that he'd try to bribe Balaam with gold for a blessing and therefore avoid being defeated by Israel. Balaam would have liked all that gold. He certainly would have. The Moabites were offering him, but God told him not to do anything that would get in the way of the Israelites. Balaam really wanted that gold, and God eventually let him go with the Moabite messages, but only if he followed what God said. And on the road, he came across an angel, but Balaam didn't see the angel. And here's where the story gets really good. The donkey saw the angel and trotted off the road. Balaam was furious and beat the donkey, but there was no way that that stubborn donkey was going to come before a messenger of God. Then the angel appeared again, and the donkey reared up against a wall and actually smashed Balaam's foot. And Balaam beat her again, poor donkey. And then the angel appeared a third time, and the donkey had nowhere else to go but just lie right down on the spot on the road. Balaam was furious with that disobedient donkey and beat her even harder. No animal rights back then. But the donkey spoke up to Balaam and said, "What have I done to deserve this treatment?" Balaam told her, "You've been disobedient and humiliated me." And the donkey replied, "You've ridden me for years. Have I ever done this to you before?" Balaam thought about that comment, and this is when he saw the angel. And the angel said to Balaam, "If your donkey hadn't turned away, I would have killed you by now." Balaam's life, friends, had been saved by a donkey. Take careful note, one of donkey history's great moments. And later that day, when Balaam saw Balak, he only spoke blessings for Israel. Each time Balak would ask Balaam to curse Israel, but whenever he opened his mouth, blessings flowed out. How's that? One of us donkeys teaching you humans how to worship properly. And of course, there was the donkey that carried Mary. That's another one from our Donkey Hall of Fame. That donkey was my great uncle 17 times removed. We called him Dino, the dynamic dynasty delivering donkey, because he carried the heavily pregnant mother of Jesus all the way into Bethlehem for the census, where Jesus was born. And there were all sorts of animals and wise men around the manger, but Dino, the dynamic dynasty delivering donkey, just sat back and enjoyed the show, knowing that it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't done his job. What a champion donkey. You would have had to like that job. So we come to me. I'm a proud member of the United International Federation of Uber Donkeys. We even have an app. Anyone, we carry anyone, anywhere, anytime. Now, I've got to tell you about the strangest job I've ever done. It was last Sunday. I was called quite mysteriously to do a job, but this one required me to take my son. He's only a colt, but he's a good lad and ready for work experience, so I happily brought him along. And we just had to stand there in town, tied up to a water trough, until two of Jesus' disciples came and fetched us. Easy money, just standing there. But then you should have seen the job we got. I was almost famous. Two disciples of Jesus came and untied us and led us off to Jesus himself. Did you hear me right? I'm going to say that again. We had to go to Jesus, the Son of God. It was our job to pick him up and carry him into Jerusalem. Two of us, me and my boy. Now, as you already know from the story I told you about Balaam's donkey, us donkeys are not stupid. We can even speak in human languages if we want to. The Bible uses us in a whole lot of places where we're known for our service, our suffering, our peace, and our humility. I figured that if they wanted us to represent those things about Jesus by using us for his job, because he was like that. I'd seen him about, always with a large crowd in tow. None of us knew how far his service, suffering, peace and humility would actually eventually go, though. That Jesus, he was a good man. He was gentle and always kind, even to us donkeys. One of my cousins even met him once, and he gave her a good scratch right under the chin, just where us donkeys like it. He was not the type to whip us or be unreasonable, no. No one had seen him display outbursts of anger until what happened next on that extraordinary day. His disciples laid robes over me and my boy, and we walked along carrying Jesus through the city gates. The crowds flocked into town and cheered him on. They were convinced that he was going to show the Romans a thing or two, and they were yelling out and singing from their ancient psalms, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And as we carried him through Jerusalem, you could almost literally see the scales on people's eyes falling off as they realized who Jesus was. Some of them turned to the people around them and they actually asked, "Who is this?" And then the most surprising thing happened. You won't believe it. We kept trotting on with Jesus riding on us, following the natural route of the road, and we ended up in the temple precinct. We had the best tickets in town for what happened next. I've never seen this before, but Jesus went straight to the money changers and he turned all of their tables over. There were coins flying everywhere. There was pandemonium. People were yelling out and they were cursing and rushing to grab the money, and sacrifices were all over the place. It was a mess and the whole place was flattened. And then he just walked away. He just walked out of town and pretty well disappeared. The crowds lost interest because there didn't seem to be any more surprises, so they just dissipated too. Went back to work. But we followed the young colt and I, not knowing if he needed a ride or not. We followed him as he walked out of the city towards Bethany over the other side of the Mount of Olives, and he spent the night over there, and all was quiet. We just hung around his camp watching. We nibbled on the grass, and we had quite a relaxing week for working donkeys. but we felt safe around Jesus. He was not the kind of person who would beat us. You know, while we had a comfortable and relaxing week about their camp, those days really were just terrible. Excruciating, actually. For such a beautiful and kind man, everything collapsed around him. All he'd ever done were good things. He healed the sick and the lame. He gave people hope and dignity. He taught the good news. He stood up against religious leaders. He really listened to poor folk. And he kept talking about justice and the kingdom of God and his Father. You know what happens to those people, don't you? The powerful get jealous and they chop them down. But you don't expect to be deserted by your friends as well. The colt and I, we just watched as that week dragged on. His friends were all chummy for most of the time, but then on the Thursday night, things really turned south. They had a campfire and a meal together. They drank wine and they broke bread. But as soon as that finished, things really fell apart. I couldn't hear everything, but you could tell that the group was kind of falling apart. One of his disciples, Judas, ran off and didn't come back for a long while. Peter, who was always a bit of a loudmouth, guaranteed to Jesus that he would stick by his side. I heard him say those words of loyalty. But Jesus got up and walked to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then he began to pray, like really pray, like prayer like I've never seen before. It was like heaven and earth were joined as Jesus wrestled with his Father in prayer through the night. He even started sweating drops of blood. I didn't know that could happen. The other disciples who were meant to be keeping guard all night, they fell asleep on him. They promised us that they would stay up and watch, but they were useless, hopeless. Us two donkeys did a better job of guarding him that night. And then the betrayer Judas came with a large mob. They were armed with clubs and spears, and they seized Jesus. And he went peacefully. He seemed to accept what was coming. It was so unjust, plain wrong. There was no reason to kill him. He was an innocent man. And of all the methods of death, to crucify him? What an insult. With the agony, the indignity, the shame, the humiliation. It was agony to watch him being dragged through the streets, too weak to even carry his own crossbar. They almost killed him on the way there. Through the continual beatings. There was no justice. None. Mob rule. Nothing that happened was deserved. Nothing. Us donkeys can't understand how you humans can be so cruel. The two of us just watched from our position as they hung his body up there on the crucifix and he slowly died. The shadow of the cross fell across our backs. We were heartbroken. Jesus' death wasn't without a wrestle, but the cruelty was too much, and it absorbed too much already. A soldier offered him a sponge of wine mixed with gall, but he refused. They nailed a sign above his head that said, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Some of the religious leaders mocked him, and they said, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. And if this is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross. Let God rescue him now." And then it got really dark. It was the middle of the day, but it was eerie, like life itself was being extinguished. Went on for about 3 hours. It got darker and darker. We were really scared, the colt and me. Everything was silent for a long time. And then Jesus screamed out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then he cried out in a loud, agonizing, strange sound, And he gave up his spirit. And he died. The ground shook. The sky went from dark to black across the temple. People came rushing out from the temple and screaming that the curtain in the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom. Everyone was scared. Even Roman centurions began saying statements like, "Surely this innocent man was indeed the Son of God." And we noticed that it was only the women followers who'd stayed and watched his dead body hanging there on that cross. Because it was a Friday afternoon, just before the Sabbath started, the women moved to get his body placed in someone's tomb. The authorities permitted it because they were really rattled about what had happened when he died. They'd become quite scared of his body and they wanted it removed. And then they rolled a large stone in front of the tomb and they sealed it up completely so his body could not be stolen. And then everyone else just walked away. And the women just stayed there mourning. And the cult and I, marked by the cross, we turned and walked away.